close my game plate.
Joy to welcome all of you to our Lord's Day service. We hope the service is a blessing to you. I especially want to welcome Cindy Steele. What a beautiful surprise for me. And I noticed there'll be other musical surprises up here that I was told I must not ask about, so I won't. But I thank all of those who are here today to help me celebrate 37 years in ministry. The beautiful flowers today are in loving memory of Pete Thiel. Next Sunday, along with our two services, at 9 a.m., we're going to have a craft time for our children, so we encourage all our children to come out, and the parents can stay and help with that. And we also want to congratulate our sister church, Bethany Lutheran, the other steeple, who are celebrating 140 years of ministry. And we're so grateful for their ministry and their friendship. Let us stand as we sing our opening hymn, In the Morning When I Rise.
Jesus.
liturgy is in the insert in your bulletin. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts.
My soul longs, indeed it faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart sings for joy to the living God.
Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars. O Lord of hosts, my King and my God.
Happy are those who live in your house, ever singing your praise.
Happy are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion.
They go from strength to strength, the God of gods will be seen in Zion.
O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob.
Behold our shield, O God. Look on the faces of your people.
Day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere.
I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than live in the tents of the wickedness.
For the Lord God is a sun and shield. He bestows favor and honor. No good thing does the Lord withhold from those who walk uprightly.
O Lord of hosts, happy is everyone who trusts in you.
Please stand.
Join in a song with sweet accord, and the song.
Our Old Testament scripture lesson is found in the book of Genesis. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass your servant. Let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread, that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make quickly ready 3 measures of choice flour, knead it and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is your wife Sarah?" And he said, "In the tent." Then one said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son."
Let us sing together, "I Am Thine, O Lord," hymn number 607.
Thank you.
Our New Testament lesson is found in the Gospel according to Luke. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of the storm is a golden sky and the sweet silver song of a lark. Walk on through the wind, walk on through the rain, though your dreams be tossed and blown. Walk on, walk on, with hope in your heart, and you'll never walk alone. You'll never walk
after that. Thank you, Dale. Thank you, Cindy. That was just, and Colin, thank you. That was wonderful. Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I've often asked the question, why did you choose this particular church? And I remember asking that question in my last church, and some people said, well, the music drew me in. Others said it was the preaching. And of course, I said, yeah, thank you. Others said it was a friend that brought me in. And one lady who had a young girl, she was a single mom, and she said, well, it was none of those things. She said, I had gone from church to church, my daughter and I, and I liked all of the churches, I liked the music, I liked the people, so I didn't really know which church to decide on, so I asked my girl, what church would you like to go to? And she said, oh, that's easy. The one with the food. She wasn't talking about spiritual food either. Talking about those great fellowship hours and potlucks. And she loved that, so that's where she wanted to go. And they spent many happy years at that church because of the food. I think back to that ancient story of Abraham, and boy, did he set the bar high for hospitality. Hospitality in those days was an absolute necessity. It was not just to entertain guests, but if somebody came along from the desert road, you were obligated to offer them hospitality or else they could die from the heat, from the long journey. So everyone was obligated to at least provide water and bread. If you remember the story, Abraham was ready to do that, and he said, I have water and I have bread. But somehow he knew that these three visitors had a spark of the divine. There was an imprint of the divine. Now, we are told by the narrator that the Lord was visiting Abraham. I don't think the Lord came down and said, I am the Lord. But somehow Abraham knew this was a spark. Somebody, these three people had the spark of the divine nature on it. So he went far beyond the water and the bread that was obligated, and he put out a feast. Of course, he had a tremendous amount of help. He said, you know, Sarah, get the cakes done, and he got a servant to cook everything else, and then he stood there and said, here it is. Took him hours to get that ready. And then after that sumptuous feast, they gave him a marvelous promise. And in a different sermon, I'm going to talk about that. Don't have time for it in this sermon. Because the promise that they gave him was something he had heard 25 years prior and still hadn't come to pass. So that's for another day. But at least they gave him a nice promise. And then you have the disciple Martha, who, like her great ancestor Abraham, knew that the visitor that came often to her table had a divine spark. The imprint of the divine was on his life. And this was not the first visit Jesus had to that table, and it wouldn't be the last. Jesus loved to visit his friends. And it says that Martha welcomed him into her home. She was the head of that household. And so she put on a spread. You can imagine how lavish that spread was. And this particular day, as she's getting everything ready and running around, she notices that she's alone. Martha's nowhere to be seen. And then she spies her at the feet of Jesus. Now, when you're at the feet of a teacher, that meant you were a pupil, you were learning, and she's in rapt attention. And I could just imagine Martha circling and trying to get her sister's attention. And I'm sure her sister had peripheral vision and was just ignoring her. And I've often thought about that story, thought, what would I have done in Martha's place? I know exactly what I would have done. I would not have asked Jesus anything. I would have gone to my sister, gotten her by the ear, and pulled her into the kitchen. Fortunately, Martha was a little more polite. So after a while of exasperation, she comes to Jesus, and I'm sure she was quite surprised when Jesus said, no, I'm not going to help you with this. Mary's actually doing what Mary needs to do. That's her vocation, and she's where she needs to be. Martha, you're so distracted. What's it like to be that distracted? What was she distracted about? Well, first she was distracted by her sister, the sister who refused to help, the sister who was in rapt attention. And so often when we are given a job to do, when we're given responsibilities, and some of these are God-ordained responsibilities, what happens is we start looking around to others. who don't have that responsibility, and we say, you know, they're not carrying their weight. We get distracted from the work that God wants us to do. And, you know, it might be true that they're lazy. That could be very true, but that's not our concern. Our concern is doing what God has asked us to do and not worry about somebody else. And maybe their vocation is very different from ours. Let it go. We have a divine responsibility we need to do. And then I think she was distracted because she knew that this was an important person. But rather than engaging with him, what did she do? She wanted to make sure everything else was perfect. And I think of, I hope you've read the reflection, don't do it now, do it after church. Dan Olson wrote a reflection, and he said, we've come to understand that the people around the table are more important than the place settings. She had forgotten that. She got distracted. And you know, every time we come to a table and we see the people around us, we have to remember that they have the divine spark. And more than that, when we say our grace, and many of us say the Moravian grace, come Lord Jesus, our guest to be, we have a divine guest along with those around the table. Delmar Dahl has changed the words of the lovely children's song, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. And he says, Jesus knows me, this I love. And that's what we have to remember every time we want to be fussing about something and we want to do something really well. And sometimes we have a little perfectionism in it. It's not a bad thing. We all need to engage in hospitality. But we have to remember the people around the table and the unseen guest. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you for the beauty of this day, that you are present with us, that you know us, this we love. And we ask that you plant that word deep in our souls. In Jesus' name, amen. We come to that time of worship that we bring our prayer concerns and our praise reports, and we're so delighted to celebrate with our friends at Bethany Lutheran. Kathleen has asked for prayers for her son Cole, who is traveling extensively and will end up home in about a month. She's asking for traveling mercies. We want to remember Rom in our prayers. He's doing much better, and he'll be in rehab for a few more weeks. And those with chronic illnesses, Ed, Barbara, and Kevin, Fran, and Kate. We want to remember our nation in our prayers and the people of Ukraine. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, we are so grateful that your mercies are new every morning. So grateful for that divine spark that we see in you and in our neighbor. We're so grateful for our brothers and sisters at Bethany Lutheran, and we ask that you would continue to bless their ministry. We ask that you would provide Kathleen's son Cole with traveling mercies. We bring before you all those who are undergoing treatment, Rom, Ed, Barbara and Kevin, Fran and Kate, that your grace would sustain them. We bring our nation before you, and we ask for peace, that you would heal the divisions and help us to be people of peace. We bring before you the people of Ukraine and ask, O Lord, that peace would reign in that nation. All of this we ask in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a beautiful day to hijack the service and celebrate Dawn's ordination, the anniversary of her ordination, and also almost anniversary of 12 years being here with us. A few words while our masked singers assemble. We're talking about gratefulness this morning. And I looked up some definitions because I'm kind of a wordy definition girl. And the definition of grateful is appreciative of benefits received, pleasing by reason of comfort, showing appreciation. And I thought that that was a good perspective for us to think about our favorite pastor today. We are all grateful for the benefits that we have received with Dawn as our pastor. And here are just a few of my personal lists. I am grateful for all of Dawn's spiritual gifts, the biggest of which might be exhortation. So in the list that is in the New Testament of all the spiritual gifts that are given out, I see exhortation very largely in my friend Dawn, meaning that the language intended to encourage others to become mature in Christ is used. It is not the same as teaching. It is a call to action. Dawn's faith is a verb. It is also consoling, comforting, and instructing, and has also been translated from the Greek as to come alongside. Thank you, Dawn, for coming to us as our pastor and friend, coming to us in the hospital, on the phone, in your office. I'm sorry for the times I've texted you on your day off. Always meeting us where we are to help us. Thank you for modeling this in our community, for reaching out to our neighbors of all faiths and showing Christ to them. If that wasn't enough of a spiritual gift, she has more. Two more biggies that I see are preaching and teaching. Preaching is defined as a God-given calling to speak God's words to others. Teaching is the Spirit-given capacity to serve God by making clear the truth of God's word with accuracy and simplicity. Does that sound like someone we know? Dawn uses these gifts together in her conversations with us, as well as in her sermons. We know when she preaches, she speaks the truth to us. She doesn't repeat herself, and she sits down. As a result, we pay attention so we don't miss anything, and we take the message with us all week. The masked singers have a few words to add. I'll start by saying thank you, Dawn, for blessing us, marrying us, baptizing us, singing with us, and putting us to rest when it is our time.
Thank you, Dawn, for rallying the troops whenever needed and organizing aid.
Dawn, thank you for leading and pastoring through 70 years, 12 of those years with us.
Thank you, Dawn, for caring about our health and visiting us when we are sick. Thank you for coming alongside us and encouraging us.
Thank you for praying with us and for us.
Thank you for always helping us.
Thank you for crying with us and laughing with us.
And thank you for your counsel and comfort.
And finally, thank you for encouraging people of all ages to share the gift of music. But all these things are truly great.
I've got a roof over my head. I've got a warm place to sleep. Some nights I lie awake counting. Instead of counting sheep,
I've got a heart that can hold a love. I've got a mind that can think.
There may be times when I lose the light and let my spirit. Can't stay depressed when I remember how I'm blessed. Grateful, grateful, truly grateful I am. Grateful, grateful, truly blessed. As my face lay,
what can I say? I am truly grateful. We hope that you'll join us after church on the lawn for some coffee and refreshments and a time for fellowship. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Said another duet. I was thinking sometime if you like do the prayer.
You mean the Italian man?
Yeah.
Yes.
Beautiful, you guys.
Thanks so much.
I'd love to.
I don't have much music up here, so I kind of have to look for it.
No, you probably find it on musicnotes.com.
Yeah, usually I go to Sheet Music Direct. So I may have to cheat at the box office when I'm working and go online there and stuff. So
okay.
That was wonderful.
Because this is my wife Barb.
How do you do, Barb? Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. It's fun sitting with him.
I told him I married him for his voice.
Oh, well, yes.
You know?
I mean, that's as good a reason as any.
That was wonderful.
So,
I see why he's pressing your baritone.
That was good. I noticed.
Did you? Yeah. I'm like, somehow as I've gotten older, my range has gotten higher. But
you know, oddly enough, so has mine.
Yeah.
I never before could have performed a C sharp. High C sharp, you know? 3 octaves above middle C. Yeah, I can now.
Yeah.
Never before, ever.
Yeah.